See, for us, the performance of rituals of Vedic times or the present day puja is substitute for performance of ritual as well as the upasanam. See, even the performance, the puja or ritual is actually a form of worship, isn't it? It's a worship. See, worship itself is what is worship? Worship itself is expressing your gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of the natural phenomena. Because but for their contribution, there is no way of your living your life comfortably here. The food you cannot create, the food which is basic thing what you need for your life, you cannot create yourself. The food you cannot create, the shelter you cannot, the whatever you need for shelter, you are not creating the raw material. See, the food you want to eat, you can cook the food, but the material you need to cook, you are not able to create. The same way, the house you can construct, but the raw material you need for constructing your house, you cannot create. The dress you can stitch, but the raw material you need for your clothes, you cannot create. See, nothing can be created by you. Nothing you are producing here. Nothing is producible, nothing is, you cannot produce anything. So, we are at the mercy of the natural phenomena. Sun has to be there, water has to be there, oxygen has to be there, earth has to yield, the plants have to grow. We are at the mercy of natural phenomena in the form of plants, in the form of earth, everything. Everything other than yourself. What now? For as a human being, as a living being, having identity with the being, for this life, to live your life as a human being in this world, you need food, shelter, clothing, basic needs, for which you cannot create. You, all these natural phenomena have to contribute. You take the raw material required for your life only from the nature. Isn't it? Therefore, they never stop you from taking. We are taking. Abundantly we are taking, enjoying. So, one should think about it, we feel so grateful. That we are all nothing, we are not producing anything. We are taking everything from the nature, enjoying them. We feel grateful. So, you want to express that gratitude to the phenomena. So, every phenomenon is what? No phenomenon expects it. It does not even know. Every phenomenon is looked upon as what? Devata. Because every phenomenon is also what? Manifestation of knowledge, illumination of consciousness. We look at it. It doesn't expect anything from you in return. It doesn't even understand that you are giving it back. Okay. As a token of gratitude, when you offer something, that your attitude, now the action which expresses your attitude happens to be a will-involved action, it produces the result. Not the devatas, they don't do anything. But the attitude is very important. The attitude with which you offer that. There is an action, it's a will-involved action. I offer a small cup of milk to Bhagavan. With which attitude I'm offering? Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you have blessed me with. Okay, this is a small act of giving, offering, through which I express my gratitude. And this is a will-involved action. This action produces the result. Why? There's a law of karma. And that result is what actually, the result is what now? Determined by the law, natural law. That law is what? Again, Ishvara. Isn't it? Therefore, we say what now? The law determined result for your act of offering is said to be what now? Propitiation of devatas. Devatas feel very pleased, we say.
No.
Yeah, devatas mean they, it is not, that, not yes. Please, devata really no phenomenon. Oh, if space or sun or moon does not say, so I'm very happy, hi, thank you very much. No.
It gives the impression that there is somebody up there, you are trying to please that person. No,
so the pleasing, the see, pleasing, doctor, no, pleasing the devatas means not causing any rub, you know, not rubbing against the order. See, if you rub against the order, it is displacing the devatas, displacing Ishvara. If you don't rub against the order, you are in tune with the order, you are pleasing the devatas. That's what pleasing. Yeah. It's not pleasing means not by just you gave me yesterday an orange and that was very tasty, I was pleased. Not that way pleasing. Here, the pleasing is only with the human being, only with the living beings. But the devatas, pleasing means, in fact, when we do not disturb the order, we are pleasing the devatas. We are disturb the order, we are really displeasing, and that is, we earn the anger of Bhagavan. Does Bhagavan get angry with you or not? But still we say, no, Om Namaste Rudra Manyava Ushave Namaha. Salutations to your anger, Lord, means what? Bhagavan get angry or what? What is anger? When knowingly or unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally, when we do our, perform our actions, it can be act of offering. Act of offering, expressing the gratitude, really pleases. It is something nice, isn't it? Which means there's a gratitude, means there's a humility. That's also. And here, what happens, when you do our actions generally, when actions go against the dharma, then naturally we rub the, against the order. When rubbing against the order is what? Displeasing Ishvara, displeasing the devatas, which is what? Provoking Bhagavan's anger. So how Bhagavan's anger provoked, what happens now? It determines the result in the form of undesirable end, what? Pain, suffering, misunderstanding. See, nobody needs to do anything. Our own misunderstanding of the world and people really kills us. Our own misapprehension, misunderstanding, really, lack of the wrong perceptions, really is a pain for us. Even other person is really angry with you also. If you do not think other person is angry with you, then you are free. The problem is other person. Whoever gets angry has the problem. Even nothing should cause anger in a person. You know, anger is caused only some other person's, tiniest of the sense of smallness centered on I is triggered, that is when anger comes. So whoever gets angry, there's not a sin, not a problem. It's like a headache comes, why headache comes? Not a problem. It's natural. So getting angry is also very natural for anybody, because it's other person's problem. If you think other person, and if you think other person is angry with you, then you have the problem. Even really other person is angry with you also, if you do not think that other person is not, you know, angry with you, there's no problem. It's all in your thinking. Therefore, the right perception, most of the times, all our problems, our pain and suffering is all how you perceive things. So misapprehension, misunderstanding, wrong understanding, wrong perceptions really cause big cobwebs in your mind. Therefore, really speaking, the pleasing the devatas or pleasing Ishvara or displeasing Bhagavan, displeasing devatas and, you know, really provoking Bhagavan's anger means what? If our behavior, our thinking, our actions, our speech is in tune with the order, we are in harmony with the order, we are not rubbing against the order, we are pleasing devatas.
Actually, this was, I don't know whether it was literally meant or there's anything underneath that, behind that, that they don't want human beings to become jnanis because they will stop doing karmas. So if they do karmas only in the form of jnanas, you please them, though you stop pleasing them. So they don't, you know, say so sort of
that
jealous, jealous of
yeah, that. No, that is what happens. No, that is
this
actually,
is not, I mean, how it is.
This is all poetic. This is what I told you. That is why Shastram should be studied with the help of the teacher. I told you Rishis had a highly imaginative mind and a sharp intellect to appreciate Upasanam and also to appreciate what? Vedanta. So that's highly imaginative thing. That's all. We should not take it literally. What happens, the more you perform rituals, the more you propitiate devatas, the more you accumulate punyam, the more you enjoy arthakama dharmas, the pleasures, the more you get engrossed in the enjoyment of pleasures, the more, the less you will be, least you will be interested in the moksha. Isn't it? Suppose that if you give me lots of...
They feel that they have to come back anyway as human beings to attain moksha. But then devadas...
No. Devadas don't stop. Devatas never stop you. What I'm saying, the more and more you... See, the more and more you do good karma, that is the order. The order, doctor. The more good karma I do, the more punyam I accumulate. How much ever punya karma I do, it will not remove my ignorance. I only accumulate punyam. I do lots and lots and lots of good karma. Everybody likes me. I come to limelight also. But it doesn't remove my ignorance. But more punyam I have, so more pleasures I'll enjoy. Punyam will be what now? And to pleasures, name and fame, property, arthakama dharma, enjoy the best of comforts, everything. Then it's the enjoyment of pleasures sometimes. What now? The more, least I'll be interested in moksha, jnana. Therefore, I get stuck. That's poetically it is said. That's all. They're really speaking.
So you must not take it literally.
No. There is nobody sitting up in the have up there. Nobody is stopping you. Oh, this fellow will go for jnanam, attain moksha, and he will leave me alone. So I won't get any offering oblations anymore. Let me stop him. Give him more and more pleasures. So he'll enjoy pleasures and he'll do more rituals. So I'll always have offerings, and then he won't attain moksha. He must be there to offer oblations to him. It's all poetic. That's why I told you, our rishis are rare combination. Combination of rare things. Not an easy thing. See, how to make you understand. That's why, doctor, sometimes the Upanishad sometimes really can confuse you also, if you don't study carefully. See, for example, even here, this Upanishad tell you, the Bhashyam, Brihadaranyakam is amazing Upanishad, no doubt. Brihadaranyakam also like Chandogyam. Lots of Upasanas. Very few chapters are Vedanta. And if you don't understand, even this Mithuna Samsarga, this marriage and all, you can easily misunderstand. If you read that, they say with Samsargasthana, people can really imagine lot of things and go on. I said, I stop where exactly I should stop. Be very careful. It's something very beautiful. See, when it is teaching meditation, it teaches another value. What's the value? It teaches you unknowingly how the divinity of Grihastashrama Dharma, life. See, marriage is for what now? Marriage is for doing punya karma, to earn punyam by because worshipping, praying, and also contributing for the praja, progeny for perpetuation of dharma. You know, which means, and they both earn punyam how? By that only. So they for enjoying, that's how they fulfill their pleasures. Desires for pleasures. They enter into the Grihastashrama life is for fulfilling a desires. Isn't it? Desires to enjoy pleasures. That's why they grow out of that also. Thereby they contribute each other's emotional growth. So this is a value which is, again, it is given through what now? This is something, it's not connected to Veda, Upanishad, meditation at all. But they take something wherever possible. They teach the dharmas. It is not our interest. We are not interested in what pleasures the husband and wife enjoy. What are the desires they fulfill being husband and wife? Though for them to become to have state practice of being the husband and the wife, they should get married first. The ritual is important because it's emotionally you are trapping each other. Emotional trapping. You are committed to me, I am committed to you, nobody else in the world should come in between us. That is the commitment. That is what the ritual. It's a marriage. And that way he said, what now? Here we say, samsargasthanam. See, upasanam is something different. See, if you recite, chant, perform ritual, chanting mantras with Omkara, then the ritual becomes complete. And you enjoy the benefit of performing a ritual. Finished, na? Look, there again they want to teach something different. That's how you learn a lot of things, isn't it? Anyway, so this is how we'll talk about that again. We'll talk. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.